Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Charlotte and I are so excited about this week's episode. We're chatting about how to support your wellness in an ever-changing world. We think this is such an important topic, and we're so happy to bring it to the podcast. We're super grateful that you carved out time to listen today and support your wellness, and we can't wait to hear what you think. Hey, Char.
Hello, Les.
Are we ready?
I hope so.
I don't even know what to say.
Our technology, and it's not our fault.
No.
Is just whack. It's whack.
It's like we are being faced with so many obstacles, but we just keep busting through them.
We do. And that is like one of our themes of this podcast.
Yep. Bust
barriers. And here we are. We're doing it.
And honestly, we could have found about 5 excuses to not record today and it would have been justified.
Yes, it would have been. But here we are.
We're here for you, Stronger Together community, despite every tech little obstacle. We are here and we are ready to talk about this. This was an episode that I actually called Charlotte and I was like, we need to do this episode because I feel like the world is so noisy and loud with wellness messaging and making people feel like there's only one way to do things and there's only one right way. And I really want to unpack like exactly what we said in the intro, like how to support your wellness in an ever-changing world, because the world is constantly changing.
It's constantly changing. And I feel like there are two kind of factors when we're talking about this. One being everybody thinks that their way is the right way. And that kind of comes from a good place because it's worked for them and they just want everybody to feel really well and excited and they want results for others. That is something that I can identify with when I first started my wellness journey. The way that I was eating, the way that I was moving my body, it was working for me and I just wanted everybody to do it. So I thought that was the right way. But there's this whole other sector that we'll get into, and it's honestly, the wellness is a business and people make money off of us thinking that we're not doing things right.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And the idea of us like wanting to do a good job, right? So wanting to do a good job. So, okay, let me just buy into this next thing. But what you said really resonates me because that was me. I feel like I was like that obnoxious yogi, like who thought everybody had to do yoga because I wanted everybody to feel like the transformation that I felt. And I know that you felt it too. And I would literally say, I think everyone in the world should do yoga. And I don't necessarily feel that way anymore because not that I don't think everybody could benefit from the practice. And we know the practice is so vast and there's so many pieces and facets to it that you can, you know, take what works for you in the time that you need it. But I think that part of staying well in this ever-changing world is finding something that you know is your constant.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Something that can be, you're grounded in your wellness practice.
And if yoga is not that constant for you, it can leave you feeling like unsupported by your own wellness journey.
Absolutely.
And here we are, like very often, like at work, in relationships, wherever it could be, we could be already getting this, like this feeling or this messaging of like, am I doing it well enough? Am I doing a good job? We don't want to feel that way in a way that we're trying to support our wellness. It's like, we already have enough opportunity to not feel like we're doing enough.
Totally. And honestly, if we think about it, the more we overthink if we're doing enough or we're doing the right thing, the more we're putting ourselves into that sympathetic state and we're stressed. And we know that stress is one of the worst things for our well-being.
Right. Absolutely. And I think the reason why this was coming in strong for me, well, there was a few, I just kept getting like these, you know, messages on social media and it just kind of started getting compounded in the way. But what I saw recently was a comment. I can't even remember what the post was, but it was of course, like some type of absolute, right? Like if you do this, it's bad. If you don't do this, it's bad. And one of the women in the comments was like, damn, every time I log into social media, I'm feeling like I'm doing something wrong.
It's so sad.
I know. Yeah. But people are trying to make money. And wellness is a $1 billion business. And if people don't make you feel like their drink is the only way to heal your gut, or their drink is the only way to get all your greens in, if they don't do that, if they don't create that sense of urgency, then people won't purchase.
Totally. And what we're seeing happening too is they're creating this urgency and making people feel like they have issues when maybe they don't.
Right.
You know, like if I saw somebody post a video the other day that was like, if you think your hormones are unbalanced, go to an endocrinologist, hormone specialist. Like somebody on Instagram can be telling you all these different things. And yeah, maybe it worked for them.
Right.
But they don't know. They haven't looked at your body. They haven't done that assessment and taken these tests. Like we just hear so, it's so saturated online with people having fixes for problems that we can be kind of like gaslit into thinking that we have these problems.
Right. And there's another piece of it. It's like the integrity of the influencer comes into play a little bit, because the influencer is being paid to push this product. And I'm also seeing a pushback from like registered dietitians and holistic nutritionists saying, hold on a second, I'm not trying to sell you a product. I want to share information, as opposed to exactly what you said, like a perfectly curated picture of somebody going, drink this drink, it will heal all your problems.
Totally. And also, like, I'm having a flashback right now to 2020 when I first started my, influencer, my micro influencer journey. Right. And my first brand partnership was with this vitamin company. And you texted me about it. And you're like, Shar, I have some concerns about this.
Oh my God.
I was fed this information, this content brief about why this vitamin is so healthy for you, so good for you. And one of the things about it was good for your heart. There was an aspect of something in this vitamin that was good for your heart health. Something that I do on a natural, on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. like besides taking this gummy, right? I'll just say it had apple cider vinegar in it. And I know that apple cider vinegar is good for your heart. And so when I saw that this vitamin had apple cider vinegar, I was like, this is so aligned. I have to push this product. This is wonderful. And I was posting about it for a couple months, and I was taking it for a couple months. And then you came to me and you were like, well, I heard about this horror story about this vitamin, and it was a nightmare.
It was a horror story. And then I had heard many more, and that's the issue. It's like people believe that everything is an absolute. So if it works for one person, it's going to work for me. But it's like, if you're not really understanding, like you said, your own nutritional needs, your own metabolic needs, and then we're just kind of popping these supplements or drinking these drinks, and like sometimes they taste really good, right? So we're like, yeah, let me just, I don't know, triple the dose. But I do know that sometimes people have to be really careful with certain types of gummy products because of the tapioca and because of the things that they use to make the gummy. So it doesn't work in everybody's digestive system.
Yeah.
So here it is. Like, there's an example, right? You're trying to do something really good. It was aligned to your core values. So you did think that you were sending a good message, but it's like, would you have been negligent if you wanted to keep, you know, influencing in that way? No, but it was like, once you had that information, you were like, wait, do I really want to support this product? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of scary.
Yeah, I know the whole story. Yeah. And those things can be, right? Like people are like, the comments are a crazy place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say, like, I've said this before on the podcast, I appreciate reviews, wholeheartedly, people who take the time to leave a review, but comments are tough because mm-hmm. people can get really angry in comments. But you see, like, somebody will easily be like, this changed my life. And then two comments down, it's like, this gave me a rash and I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we really don't know unless we try. So part of this idea of how to support your wellness in an ever-changing world is perhaps being open to trying things, but not thinking that things are an end-all be-all, right? Like if just because Charlotte is endorsing this product doesn't mean that I have to take it, right? But I love Charlotte. I'm going to take it because Charlotte says it's good. But you're also like a trustworthy person online and you're super transparent. And I don't know if you represent the average influencer, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many people that just post things because they got paid.
Right. And
I understand that feeling of like, ooh, I get $500 for saying a sentence. And like, I get it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we really have to be diligent in making sure that we're, like, as consumers, as people who are consuming this content, we have to recognize that there is money behind these posts and there is ulterior motives behind these posts. And we really have to be champions of our own well-being. Mm. And yeah, we can try things, but we have to really make choices from a place of, is this going to serve me as an individual?
Right. And like, I'm empowered to do a little investigating, and I feel empowered to maybe challenge the message. I saw an influencer recently, and she's in amazing shape, like, really strong. And she was, she had a baby, and then she was breastfeeding, and then she had another baby. And then she was like, oh my gosh, I finally got back to this pre-workout. Like, thank God I can take this pre-workout again. This is a life-changing thing, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I'm always curious about things. So I clicked on it and I looked, and then I read the ingredients, and it was literally full of garbage. Mm. It was like full of all this artificial ingredients. It had like 3 different food dyes in it. It was artificially flavored because it was like fruit punch or something. And I'm thinking to myself, she has a huge following. Like, how many people just bought that pre-workout because she said it was the end all be all?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah. And we know, we know that things like artificial flavorings and food dyes and things can be really harmful to people. So I think that part of this supporting wellness in this world that's constantly changing, and we're constantly being bombarded with messages, is to take a moment before we purchase. It's so easy to just purchase from someone's story right now on Instagram, right? It's like, click this link. Okay, great. Instagram saves my credit card. Great. I'm done. Before I know it, it's shipped. And so, like, taking that deep breath before we impulsively buy a wellness product, I think that's really important.
100%. I mean, there's the practice of yoga in action. It's, it's pratyahara. We're seeing something, we're deciding to take a pause, and then we respond if we want to by ordering or not. But like we're saying, the world is ever changing, and that is never going to stop.
Right.
There's never going to be an end to new products being created. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be an end to research that comes out, and we just have to do the best we can and stay grounded in our own practices of wellness. And that's really what kind of inspired our episode today, is talking about ways that we can really, like, anchor into our own wellness routine and remain consistent when we're just constantly being bombarded by these new things.
Yeah. Like, knowing, like, the new shiny thing is going to come out. And part of that, let's be honest, that's exciting. Yes. Because there's the world is constantly evolving. People, like, there are really, people out there who are really committed to elevating people's wellness and doing research and things like that, right? So as research advances and as technology advances, oh my gosh, maybe there will be like this incredible product that just heals. But I think we have to stay curious, we have to stay inquisitive, and we have to not feel this marketing pressure to buy into everything.
Yeah, agreed. And I know you came up with kind of like 3 steps. Mm-hmm. To stay consistent in your well-being. Do you want to share those? Is the first one consistency?
I think the first thing is having a constant in your life that you know supports your wellness. And I was kind of thinking like physical in this way, like some way of moving your body, because there's a lot of noise about the right way to move your body, you know? So, and just like I said before, just because yoga is my constant, the physical practice of yoga, that doesn't mean it has to be for everybody. But I think getting curious enough, trying new forms of movement, without feeling like, oh, this is the trend and I have to do it this way. Like for me, my 2 constants are 100% yoga, asana practice, and walking. Mm-hmm. I remember, I guess it was about maybe 8 to 10 years ago, I felt a lot of pressure to be a runner. I just felt like everybody's running. I should be running. I'm in good shape. I should probably be in better shape and support my cardio. And I started running, and I can't say that I loved running, but I loved how I felt after running.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do a 5K, and I really wanted to do a 5K in under 30 minutes. And I had like a goal, and I was training for it, and I did it. I ran my 5K. I even like did pretty well for my age group, and I was really proud of that. But what I realized after a pretty short time, that running wasn't not good for my body. And I started getting a lot of hip pain, and I started feeling an old like lumbar injury, like my low back started really gnawing at me. And I'm like, here I'm feeling all of this pressure to be a runner. Why? Yeah. Why do I have to be a runner? Just because it looks like that's what everybody is, seems like that's the best way to, you know, be fit and have longevity. So I'm actually thinking about this right now. I remember when Kyle was in middle school. So yeah, it was probably about 8 to 10 years ago. So now I realize walking is my constant, not running.
Yeah.
And then newly I've been lifting, at Pulse, the gym attached to the yoga studio where we both teach at your yoga studio. And that has quickly become one of my constants, but it took me a long while to feel comfortable and ready to try that form of movement and to do it in, with a person that I trust and in an environment that feels supportive. And that was like an unexpected, like love for me. I didn't really, expect it. I kind of just like, you know what, with my age, I feel like I really want to start lifting a little bit heavier. I really was conscious of bone density. Mm-hmm. And then, so that just kind of happened. So now I feel like those three are my constants, like walking, yoga, and then now lifting at least twice a week.
Yeah. Those are my exact three constants too.
They are. I had a feeling.
Yeah. They're the best. And what I'm thinking too, as we're talking about this is they are our constants, but within those constants, there has definitely been change. Like I remember my yoga practice when I first started was very inversion heavy. I really wanted to nail a handstand. I was in the quick vinyasas. I was doing mountain climbers. And it has quickly, not quickly, but it has gradually evolved into taking child's pose a lot more often, barely ever doing inversions. And so we recognize that there can be change within a constant. And I still feel really grounded because I know I'm getting on my yoga mat 2 or 3 times a week. And that's that, like that exhale. It's like, okay, like this is my time. And it's the same thing when I'm under a bar in the gym, like squatting, like maybe 1 month I'm doing 10 reps, maybe 1 month I'm doing 3 reps at a heavier weight. There's that change, but it's this constant of arriving and dedicating this time for this practice. And it's the same thing with walking too, right? Like sometimes we walk one route, sometimes we walk a different route, and there's newness within that constant. And I think that's a really lovely thing to acknowledge.
I love that. As you're saying that, I didn't even realize that how many times that has happened in my own yoga practice. And there was like a long time, probably connected to the running, where I had to, and if you're listening and you love running and running is your constant, I am in no way insulting your favorite form of movement. I just learned that it just isn't right for my body. I used to say I broke up with up dog. Like I had like a really long time where upward facing dog, which is, you know, a staple pose in vinyasa practice, it just did not feel supportive and nourishing in my body whatsoever. And I just stopped doing it completely. Same thing with like, just some more of like the physical pushes that we see in a typical yoga vinyasa class, but those are all back.
Yeah.
Those are all back over time. And it just happened. I never woke up and made a decision and like, now it's time to start doing this again. It was just showing up for that constant, allowing my body to heal in the way that it needed to heal, feeling like if my yoga practice was just going to be child's pose and a couple of like simple poses, that's okay. Yeah. And so there's that evolution and that change through my constant movement. Through my constant form of movement. And it feels really nice. That to me feels like exciting to know that it doesn't always have to be the same.
Yeah, I agree. And that brings us into the second point of being open to trying new things without this sense of obligation, right? Like knowing that your yoga practice doesn't have to be a sun salutation, a warrior two, down dog. It doesn't have to be the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe one day you want to try a different form of yoga. Maybe one day you want to swim. Who knows? But we don't know what's right for us unless we try.
I'm actually going to share something right now that I did not plan on sharing, but it just feels like I'm going to do it. And I've been feeling like, I've been feeling like a little shame about it. You already know this. I don't know if you know what I'm going to say, but you already know what the thing is and about being open to try new things and not feeling like you have to be in this wellness box, because for a long, long time, I put myself into this wellness box. But I am no longer vegan. And I was vegan for a very, you hear the lump in my throat as I said it. I'm like, please don't judge me if you're listening. But the reason why I'm no longer vegan is that veganism was not supporting my wellness. And how do I show up as a wellness practitioner when the way that I was nourishing my body wasn't nourishing my body? The way that I was fueling my body was actually not giving my body what it needed. And my body was breaking down and I was feeling sick. And it's very much connected to where I am in the phase of my life and where my hormones are, and the amount of stress that my body was under for such a long period of time with, you know, taking care of my, and then him being sick, and just a lot of just that, like, 2 years, 2.5 years of like really big stress, and then leading into grief. And my body was really depleted and was like, I felt like it was kind of shutting down.
Yeah.
So if I was not open to trying new things, I actually think that my body was screaming. Like, my body was like, I'm going to force you to try something. Because what ended up happening was I started craving, like an animal product. And I, that had like never happened to me before. I'm like, what is actually happening?
Yeah.
And I fought it. I was like fighting it. And I'm like, here, my body's giving me like this really pull, this strong pull, this strong intuition. And I was fighting it because I wasn't open to thinking that there was a different way to nourish my body. Cause I really locked myself into that. This is what wellness means as a yoga practitioner. This is how you have to eat if you're going to be, you know, a real yogi. And it's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because how can I be a yoga practitioner if I'm sick? How can I move my body if it's breaking down?
Yep.
So being open as we go through different seasons of life, and being open to the idea of like, I might need something different to stay well, not only in an ever-changing world, but in my ever-changing life and body.
Yeah. Yeah. I resonate with that a lot too, because I played around with veganism, vegetarianism for a while, given just my heart health. And I remember once I gave up animal products, I was like, I am never, ever going to have them ever again in my life. And you just think that. Mm-hmm. And I found myself thinking like, why is that person eating a cheeseburger? Don't they realize that that's so bad for them? And there's all this judgment about how other people are eating just because I'm choosing to be vegan or vegetarian. And then I remember I started to see an acupuncturist who was vegan. And my acupuncturist, you know, she was very animal rights, like protect animals at all costs. And she was treating me and she was like, Char, you need some meat. And just hearing that from a practitioner who's so pro-vegan really opened my eyes to the fact that like, okay, everybody's body is different.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I had holistic practitioners also telling me that I needed animal products. And I was like, nope. You know, and it really turned me off. And I was like, I'm not going to go to you if you're not going to support my lifestyle changes, my lifestyle choices, excuse me. But that was my closed-mindedness. That was my idea of just not being open to something that might support my wellness. That doesn't mean that I didn't experience great health benefits in my time of being vegetarian and vegan, because I definitely did. For a long time, I felt amazing. And I felt like my choices were really deliberate and intentional, and my body was being fueled appropriately. And I felt really healthy and light, for a long, long time. And so what I'm trying to do is just be really grateful for that time in my life and not, you know, judge myself or feel like I'm going to be judged by others. Because it was not an easy decision to support my wellness in this way. And I think that the research that's been coming out with the connection between hormones and animal products, like, that wasn't really present. Like, I feel like that's newer, that we're hearing a lot about that. And I got really curious about that. And I did a lot of reading. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this really makes a lot of sense for me. I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to be open to try it. And I'm going to start really, really small. And I'm still really, really small. Because at this point, I don't even know, I guess I'm a pescatarian. Is that what it is? Like,
yeah,
that's like pretty much the only animal product that I am consuming right now is fish. And my body started healing like almost immediately. It felt like it was pretty incredible. So, that was a huge lesson for me about not judging myself, not judging others, and not judging a one way or one size fits all path to wellness.
Yeah. And just look at the nourishment that you've gained just by being open.
Yeah, I can't imagine how the rest of this year would have gone if I kept ignoring the signs that my body was giving me.
Yeah.
So I think that that's also kind of like one of the tips. I know this wasn't like on our list, but it really is. It's like quieting the mind enough that we can listen to what the body's asking for. Like very often, like that intuition, we ignore it. We bury those gut feelings. And I know in our classes, you and I really try to get people to tune into those internal messages and to listen carefully and thoughtfully. Because very often the message is there, just for whatever reason, we don't feel ready or comfortable, or we ignore it, or we don't trust ourselves enough. So I think that idea of tapping into who we are intuitively is really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one part of ourselves that can never be taken away. Like our intuition is the quiet part of ourselves that has an answer that's one word, and it doesn't need any scientific evidence to back it up. It's just no, or it's just yes, or it's I want to try this. And when there's so much out there, everywhere you go and everywhere you look about wellness and what then the new product and what you need, it's hard to let that part of us speak because there's so much noise over it.
You're so right. I have chills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it. Like it's the world is noisy right now. But I wanted to just, do you feel comfortable talking about HIIT a little bit? Cause I feel like that feels like really aligned to what we're talking about. And your love, your former love of high intensity interval training.
Oh yeah. So I started doing HIIT when I was first diagnosed with high cholesterol, and I was doing it 6 days a week in the heat. I was ripped. I was shredded. My resting heart rate was like low 40s. Like I was in sick shape. Mm. I remember getting an EKG and my cardiologist was like, are you a conditioned athlete? And I was like, yes, I am. Like it did really, really great things to my cardiovascular system. And at the time I thought I looked really great. And then as I continued to teach and practice HIIT and take HIIT classes, I just noticed that my hormones were just not present. They were not balanced. I was not getting my period. I think in 2020, I got my period one time. And that was like when I was really, really quick with HIIT.
I remember that. I think it was only one time because that was like the pandemic year. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't get it monthly right now, but I get it so much more often since I've given up HIIT, since I've switched HIIT for strength training. And it's funny because I was listening to our very first episode this morning titled What WTF is Making Space or something like that. And in it, you and I were both saying, we love HIIT and flow. Like the HIIT portion is everything we need. And it's just a really great reminder that like things can change and that's okay. And we have to be okay with it. And I'm at the point right now where I think I'm still at the point where I'm kind of turned off by HIIT, and I'll see people doing HIIT on Instagram and I kind of like cringe a little bit because I'm like, your hormones, like your poor hormones. But that's just because I went through it. And just because my hormones were wrecked due to HIIT doesn't mean that the person I'm watching their video's hormones are wrecked by HIIT. But that's just an experience of mine that I really was able to listen to my intuition and give up something that was not only a constant in my life, but also HIIT was lucrative for my business. I built like an entire business around this class HIIT and flow. And the decision to change it and eventually dissolve it was a hard one, but I knew my soul, my intuition knew that it was the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we both taught it and we loved it and it was a great time, but I think that what you did like through that realization for you was really tactful and important. And you didn't like publicly bash that form of movement, and you started kind of slowly turning from like a HIIT based flow to like a strength and HIIT, and then eventually strength. And then you were able to realize that in order to sustain your sense of well-being, you could not teach this class because it wasn't healthy enough for you. And then But it wasn't like you weren't like going on other influencers' accounts and bashing that form of movement in the comments, or, you know, like, well, this is what happened to me, so this is what's going to happen to everybody. And I think that that's really important. But I just think it's really funny that here you and I are like, just what, 3 years later? I don't even know. 3 years later, we're like, yeah, no.
No, thanks. I'll take a barbell.
I'll take a barbell class. But I think we also know that in this ever-changing world, there's nothing off the table.
Right.
There's nothing off the table. In a few years, we might feel differently. In a few months, we might feel differently. And that's where that constant is really important. So for our listeners, if this conversation is resonating with you, we think that step one is to just like evaluate what type of movement brings you joy. What type of movement do you know that you feel so connected, whether it's like walking outside and you feel connected to nature, or, you know, you love taking a spinning class with your bestie, like whatever it is, that's probably your constant. The thing that you look forward to, not like dread or do it out of obligation. It's the thing that you really look forward to, the thing that just kind of like lights your soul up. Like that's definitely step one. Step two is give yourself grace. If you have to make that decision, like if you're being open to things and you have to be like available to the idea that what works for you one time might not work for you in another time in your life. And that doesn't mean that you failed. It doesn't mean that you're abandoning anything. It just means that you're staying true to who you are. And then lastly, we have to be honest, right? We have to remember wellness is a business. People are trying to make money off of us.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. So, and that's never going to stop.
Yeah, that's never going to stop. And you know what? I'm not upset about it. Like, right. I think, great, have a business, but have like, I want to support companies that have a lot of integrity and that have a lot of transparency. And like, the older I get, the more I realize those really are part of my core values. Like, that's important to me. I want to follow and support companies and ingest products from companies that appreciate clean nutrition and that aren't trying to sneak in additives and fillers and food dyes and all of the things that I know I don't want in my body. So it's okay that wellness is a business. We just have to be aware of it.
Yep, exactly. So we want to know, what is your constant? I love hearing about people's constant.
So do I.
It tells me about them.
I love knowing what people like to eat, and I love knowing how they like to move.
Me too. Tell us what your favorite food is and
yes.
Your favorite type of movement.
Absolutely. And let us know, tag us in your stories. Let us know after you listen that what kind of noise in the wellness world are you hearing? And are you kind of getting the same type of messaging? Is it frustrating for you at all? Maybe you haven't even thought about it until this episode, but we are curious and always interested in what you have to say.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks. Our email is always open. Our DMs are always open, and we can't wait to hear from y'all.
Yep. See you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.